Blog Talk Radio.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
So your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this time no.
To Don't Give Up Radio. I am your host, Jackie Wayans. Welcome to another week, another edition, another way to encourage you, to let you know that you can make it through whatever you are facing right now, whatever dark hour, whatever uncomfortable circumstance or situation. God is there for you, and He has made a way. And hopefully, by the end of this broadcast, that will be made very clear for you. Tonight, we have with us the wonderful, the multi-talented, musically diverse David Winans II. Many of us are very aware of the iconic gospel family, the Winans family. As a whole, we're familiar with that sound. However, individually, each Winans has their own unique sound and story because they're unique individuals. And so we have the privilege to have David with us here tonight, esteemed bass player and guitarist, songwriter and singer. David, thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, Jackie. Thank you for having me on.
It's a pleasure. And I must say, you're DW2. You're David Winans the second.
That's it. DW2, correct.
DW2. So talk to us a little bit. I mean, you know, we know of your family in terms of what we, you know, see and hear on award shows and CDs and albums. But tell us about who you were before, you know, everyone knew the Winans' name.
Well, I was a member of the Winans before everybody knew the Winans' name. We had a quartet called the Winaneers, which later on progressed into becoming Testimonial Singers. On my hand, I played with the brothers and sang with them, and we used to do a lot of churches and convocations in our day growing up. And
mm-hmm.
we were inspired by our parents, who were in their own groups and in the Lemon Gospel Choir. So, yes, we had the influence, and we all took instruments in school. We had a piano at the house, so we all played piano, since our mother was like the pianist.
Yes, I say that because I remember having to take my piano lessons, and I kind of played by ear, so I would not exactly do what I was told to do. I was kind of fiddling around.
Shame on you, Jackie.
Shame on me, and my mom would give me the glaring eye from the corner of the room there.
Yes,
so
yes.
I'm glad you guys pursued and continued on, unlike myself. Tell me what I would have seen in your household with you guys growing up. What would a typical day or week what did you guys do for fun?
A typical day, we all were athletes. My dad had a community outreach group for underprivileged kids, and we were part of that. We played baseball, football, and then we had to have rehearsals. But, yeah, we were all athletically inclined.
Didn't try to kill each other, did you?
Did we try what?
To kill each other on the football field or on the baseball field.
Yes, of course we did. Hit each other with pitches, but we played street football. And then our dad had a little league, and our whole family, all of us, the siblings, were one team. And we had a couple of friends from our street.
You were called what?
The Whittingham Jets. We grew up on northwest Detroit on Whittingham and 7 Mile Road.
Wow. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. It does.
Oh, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Plus, we had ping pong tournaments.
Okay. Well, you know, kudos to your dad. I know you lost him recently, and but it sounds like he gave you guys a wonderfully grounded childhood and taught you the importance of being together and giving back to community as well.
Oh yes, yes, he was definitely instilled in it, his spirit in us. Thank God for that. So
that's excellent.
That's why none of us are in jail or any serious trouble at this time.
Right, right. Amen.
Yeah, but for the grace of God.
Well, you know, I know a lot of large families, one of the things that they would do was entertain each other because it was easier to do than to have you go to someone else's house and all of that jazz. What did you guys do for entertainment?
Well, for entertainment, we would put on little talent shows and try and outdo each other, and we also would write commercials from TV commercials with our own twist to it. We'd come up with maybe a gospel song for a car commercial, and then maybe a Frank Sinatra song for a hair shampoo commercial, stuff like that. We did that a lot, and we'd have mom cracking up for sure.
You know, well, that's good. You need a little laughter, especially during those times, because this family togetherness, but it was also some hard times back then. So that's good that you had those laughing moments.
Yes.
Now, I mentioned at the beginning of the show that even though we're familiar with the Winans sound as a whole, as a collective group, each of you really developed a very unique individual sound, and that's very hard to do when you're in a family, singing together, living together. How did that come about? How did you guys find your own, you know, niche?
Well, we found our own niche by experimenting would be the wrong word, but expanding our horizons. We were strictly gospel music, choir and quartet. That's all we were able to bring into the house. But during our formative years, like in high school, I reached out because being a guitarist is not that much you can do at that time, acceptable in gospel music. So I was into learning rock and roll guitar, and I had to sneak albums into the house just to practice on.
Wow.
Much to my parents' chagrin, but that expanded my horizons that way. And a couple of us played violin, so we had classical upbringing.
Okay.
And soulful gospel music. So whenever we all went our separate ways after we were all in high school. And high school, yes. So we developed our own styles that way. Some of us liked country western, some of us didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that developed.
Yeah, it's a large spectrum. You being the most extreme in one sense, from the rock sound all the way, you know, when Daniel was on the show a few months ago, he has more of a soothing kind of, almost a smooth jazz pop kind of thing going on. And it's just very interesting to hear everyone's unique development. And
I don't know if
really
you picked this up, but I think Daniel also has a good island sound.
He does. Actually, I said on the show, the song The Wind, which we actually will play in a little bit, I said, I think this needs an island remix, because as it was playing, I could hear that kind of influence in there, but it was light. It was like in the background, and I thought he could have pushed it just a little bit more, especially since I have that background. So, I'm looking for The Wind remix here with the more island sounds happening and coming through. So
That's going to happen.
Oh, good. I'm excited. You said that you had to sneak in music. Did you ever get discovered, or were you able to hide it?
No, I got busted a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, I don't want to hear that music in this house ever again. And it was like a Jeff Beck album, I think I snuck in. And then a Doobie Brothers with Michael McDonald, who later on performed with the brothers.
Wow. Yes, I must say I love the Doobie Brothers sound myself. I don't think it's just classic. It's beautiful. Great. So did it ever cause you a great deal of stress, wanting to learn this musical style and being drawn to it?
Yes, it caused my mother a lot of stress. Stress, is that the right word? No, it just probably made me more determined to delve into different types of music all over the world, because there's music from all over the world. There's nothing like just one set of things of music. People take influence from everything they're everything that they're exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So when you travel somewhere, you always have a bit of something that sticks out to you and that becomes internalized.
Right. In fact, you lived in London for a while, correct?
Yes, I did. London and Frankfurt when I was young. And then I moved back to Detroit, which nothing was happening, and ended up going to Los Angeles, which really burgeoned my horizons.
So that European invasion really had an influence on you.
Oh, yes, it did. Yes, it did. Because it was a different... It was a different style of music than you had here in the States. The States were more confined with letting people explore. So the British invasion brought in a whole lot of, well, they basically had blues and some gospel because they starved for that music over there.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's here, it's amongst us. So we either don't pay attention to it or we know what we're, you know, we don't pay attention to it.
Right,
we treasure it
right.
as much as we should. When they came over, they brought in the blues, but they also brought in a different style of, they brought in magical and majestic compositions, and it was just a whole awakening in the music
mm-hmm.
scene.
Definitely it was. You sound like you were a very confident, courageous, and not typical, kind of like out of the color line type of young man. Is that true?
Well, yes. I like the way you said out of the color line. Yeah,
out
you're
of the
correct.
Color line.
Yes, that is true.
Right.
You know,
well,
I have confidence. I've always had confidence. Our Father instilled confidence in us. You know, he would quote scriptures to us like in 2 Corinthians 13, 16 and 13, where it says, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, the men of courage, mm-hmm. be strong and do everything in love." And that's the...
Mm-hmm.
That's the given there. Get to everything in love.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And I think that one of the things we want to get across is that God is not a cookie-cutter God. He makes each of us very uniquely. And if we have a keen ear to his Holy Spirit, he's going to guide us, and he's going to direct us into being the people that he's created us to be.
Beautiful thing about that is he will not guide you the wrong way.
He will never do that. In fact, that's exactly what the lyrics to The Wind are all about. Let's take a listen.
Yeah. Gonna get better. Gonna get better. Gonna get better. Mm-hmm. Who knows just how much rain is gonna fall, or if it will rain at all. I know if it decides to rain, nothing will stay the same. So prepare this very hour, it's gonna shower. Watch the wind, which way he blows, he will show how it flows. Hold on tight, enjoy the ride, then he will guide you through the night. Watch the wind, people can't figure out just how to love. What are they thinking of? But now I can truly say there's a better way each and every day. So hold on, this very hour, it's gonna shower. Watch the wind,
watch the wind,
which way it blows,
he's gonna blow.
He will show,
he will show
how it flows. Hold on tight,
hold on tight,
enjoy the ride,
enjoy the ride.
He will guide,
he will guide
through the night.
Watch the wind,
which way it blows,
he's gonna blow.
Show you how to blow, which way to go. That was Daniel Winans' younger brother to David Winans the second. He is the first and very proud of it.
And that was Daniel is number six, actually.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Number six. Well, you know, what's great about that song is I realized right away that it was a song about the Holy Spirit, but then he just blew me away and showed me how it was really about that, but about the importance of watching God, listening to him, and looking for that change, that turn right on the dime, and being able to move. Exactly, and I encourage anyone who hasn't heard that show to go take a listen. It was really fabulous. But you have your own story with that, because here you are in L.A. You are pitching the Winans brothers, pitching their sound. All the major Christian labels are saying no, they're not interested, and of course they learn to regret that later on. But personally, you had your own sound that you've been trying to get out there and develop and share, and that didn't really take off, or you met your fair share of challenges where that's concerned. Talk to me about the kind of double-edged sword that existed there.
Well, it was strange. It was very strange. I felt the band I had, which was called Xairia, X-A-I-R-I-A. It was a progressive rock group. I was a guitarist and singer and writer, and some friends of mine, we put this band together. And the X, you know, as in, you used to write Christmas like Xmas.
Right.
So the story behind Xairia was X and aria, which is an operatic solo. So it was like Christ through music was the meaning of the word. But anyhow, we were in a progressive rock scene, and which had storylines, and basically all our stories were spiritual. But the industry at that time was not looking at a band with a black guitarist. It was kind of hard to push that, because I was dealing, my band was coming up with Eddie Van Halen and Motley Crue, Mick Mars, and those were the guitarists at that time. So it was very difficult to get the record labels interested in us. And then I lost my lead singer, who was Caucasian, David Lamb, and I had to go to Detroit to get another singer who I knew through high school, Mr. Richard Murphy. And when I brought him out to L.A., that even made it worse, it seemed like. They just totally ignored us and signed some of the worst bands and that's when they had A&R. So a lot of A&R people lost their jobs because, but we sustained. We were together for some years, and I'm very proud that I was able to keep that band together, no matter what happened.
In the midst of all of that, sometimes you were being threatened to be kicked out of the Winans too, right?
Yes, of course. Of course, that came up too. What are you doing? You should be on here. But, you know, it was divided. I mean, I always went on the road with the brothers whenever they came in, because they had to come to Los Angeles after they got signed. So I was on their sessions and worked with them on Man in the Mirror when they did that with Michael Jackson. And,
wonderful.
And a whole lot of other stuff before Ronald passed, which was very, kind of like ended the whole thing. But I worked with Ronald on some of his Ronald and Friends albums, which was a precursor to the Winans. I don't know if you heard any of those, but Ronald Winans, Family and Friends, great choral arrangements. Ronald was a fantastic writer also.
Wow. Yes, definitely. It's amazing. The sound is very unique, but I would imagine that a rock instrumental bridge in the midst of a Winans song was probably
it worked. It worked because, trust me, it showed up in a whole lot of other people's music at the time. I'm not bragging, but I kind of like, you hear it now in like a lot of Fred Hammond and Commission stuff.
Yes.
You hear it in the Clark Sisters.
Okay.
I was one of those guys in the forefront of that. So, because the Winans had, at one time, they had my band backing them. So they were like one of the first gospel groups with rock guitar, slide guitar, and a Mellotron synthesizers.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Wow. I remember the Mellotron. I definitely remember that.
You remember the Mellotron? Yes. That's on the Testimonial Singers' "Let's Break Bread Together" album.
You were really at the forefront of this connection between Christian music and rock music, and bringing the two worlds together.
Yes.
The industry is very hard-nosed about how they, you know, categorize music. Can you take some time and explain how that's actually a problem? It's more harmful than helpful to the industry.
I think it's more harmful to the industry because they pigeonhole musicians and writers into a certain genre. And when you say you write a song and it sounds like it's a rap song, but the rap is not your forte.
Mm-hmm.
You just used it to spice up or add a little contemporary sound to it. But the industry seems to, like, keep you there, especially if it becomes a hit. And the categorization of music, and I don't know if anyone's noticed this or if it was just me, but for in the black and white gospel music is considered black music. And white Christians and music is considered inspirational. Now, I don't know where you get that from because it's all church gospel music to me. The Lord, it's about the gospel, the good news. So when you break down, when you build up barriers like that, it causes friction and a confusion, I do think. Confusion is the most.
And it's very noticeable to unbelievers, people looking from the outside in. You know, they're saying,
I would think so. I would think.
Yeah. Another thing that, you know, other singers and myself talk about is the fact that you can be a Christian and sing country music very smoothly.
Yeah.
You can be on the top of the church charts on country music and be accepted at the same time when you put out your Christian album. But there's no way. I mean, back in the day, do you remember when Denise Williams was doing secular music and Christian albums and everybody was like, well, I don't understand. Is she a Christian?
That was a whole movement that happened there. A whole lot of major artists. I think what happened, and this is my view from a political standpoint, being anti-record companies, but what happened was, I think the well dried up in the R&B and the pop music categories, because I think a couple people commanded those, and what happened, those artists, the gospel music industry, record companies, were giving advances and paying money for people to come in and switch over, and that's what happened. A lot of those major label artists went to the smaller gospel artists for funding, whether it was their conviction or not, but it eased their stagnation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wow, that's very interesting.
Yeah, it was very interesting because a whole lot of people left Los Angeles and went to Nashville.
Well, I would like to get to Nashville at some point. I mean, it is like the rugged
mess. Oh, beautiful. Yeah, oh my God. Country Western. And country Western music, country artists are gospel artists too. They all go to church. They all sing gospel, you know, songs. So that's kind of a two-edged sword, like I said.
Well, it seems like your sister, Cece Winans, has had
Priscilla, such an anointing
on her to be able to cross almost every platform, you know, internationally, gospel, CCM, inspirational, you know, and she's been able to do that and be accepted in all of the forums that she's
right, and she does it with such panache and effortlessly.
Yes.
I'm very proud of Cece.
Very much so. And BB as well. He's also...
BB, of course.
When I first got saved, 1990, and, you know, at that time, there was very limited options on radio. And I remember 970 DJ had just started up, and this extra option of music started to come on board, and I was really thankful because I love hymns, but I was, you know, 20 years old and didn't see myself listening to hymns all day long. So having, you know, the options of BB and Cece and you know, Sandy Patty and all these other guys, it was really wonderful.
Sandy Patty, yes. Love Sandy Patty.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That's a whole nother show, though. And I,
let me ask you this. What was your favorite BB and Cece PTL moment song?
That time, it really was an issue of me loving the sound of the music and being able to listen to it because it was Christian music.
Because this is going to tie in what we talked about earlier.
And it's hard to think about one because that whole first album was fantastic.
Well, they did. When I said when we were growing up, we would make commercials, change commercials to gospel songs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, BB and Cece did Lord Lift Us Up Where We Belong when they were PTL. And that was the song from An Officer and a Gentleman. Love Lift Us Up Where We Belong. And that's a great example of what we used to do when we were kids.
Right, right. And, you know, it's interesting because the Staple Singers, you know, they took a lot of flack for doing crossover sound.
Yes, they did.
But now they kind of, you know, they led the way for others
they
to be able to do that.
They led the way. Another example of that is the song I'll Take You There. That was their hit.
Mm-hmm. And I remember there was definitely controversy about that.
There was controversy. And there was controversy when my brothers came out with Time to make that change. That was very... controversial because that bridged the rap thing with gospel when they did that with Teddy Riley and
Aaron Hall. Yes, I remember that.
Yes.
Yep. I was just becoming alert at that time, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just becoming alert. And by the time I was said yes to the Lord, Kirk Franklin was on the scene, and boy, did he take heat.
and the very
same songs that people didn't want to play then are considered classics today.
Isn't it amazing? I know.
Absolutely amazing.
What a journey we're on.
So speaking about controversy, so I'm going to play your track, Troubled Time. Tell us
about Troubled Waters.
Sorry about that. Troubled Waters. And I knew that. I don't know what it is. Troubled Waters. And, you know, talk to us about how the song evolved and developed.
Okay. Well, myself and my guitarist, Greg Nelson, were writing songs, and we were trying to come out of the progressive thing and needed something to profoundly describe where we were at the moment. We were in troubled waters because we had just stepped out on faith, and these storms came and hit us, but we were able to survive and sustain through it with the faith of God. And this one won us our third Detroit Music Award.
Excellent.
So,
well, let's take a listen.
Okay.
Thank you.
another troubled start to a stormy season. She blows my mind without any reason, and this can't go on. Twist of fate in the blink of an eye, I hope the worst of the storm passes me by, and the past is gone.
Should I turn and walk away from the choices you made? I feel the same about you as I did before. Now's the time to make decisions.
Because I'm just headbanging over here. I'm like gaining more and more appreciation for that song every time I hear it. It just increases inside me. It's crazy. That lick is crazy. You are one guitar player, I'm telling you.
thank you very much. Yeah. That's...
And, you know, I'm a 67 baby, so I grew up with that whole Fleetwood Mac, Pink Floyd, Queen kind of stuff happening.
Yeah, so
I didn't even
know
R&B existed, actually. So,
yeah, I understand.
And I hear that vibe coming off of this track. Talk to me about your influences.
My influences were those bands like Pink Floyd and Yes foremostly, and a group called Gentle Giant. And what they brought to the table was the symphonic sound of things. And they were able to bridge like the ethereal Catholic Church organ stuff with pop rock. And Gentle Giant did it with madrigals and vocal ensembles. And it was just a great mix. It was, you know, it just, like I said, showed the other influence that could come in. And Yes and Pink Floyd were one of those that did the basic string arrangements with the spiritual feeling behind it and ethereal word, the spiritual message behind it.
You know, it's interesting because
they never talked about killing anybody or calling people names or anything like that.
Yeah, definitely.
It was all about love.
Which is why I could get away with listening to it. But, as I listen to the lyrics of this song, though, it's very clear to me that this was almost a call and response type song between, you know, the believer and God the Father. And, you know, how we, you know, I mentioned to you that this song reminded me of Running Back to You by Commission. And when I was speaking to you, I kept saying, and yesterday, and I realized today I meant tomorrow.
Oh.
Tomorrow, forget about tomorrow. That's what I was talking about.
I got you. Well,
because
I like the yesterday reference.
Yeah, I like yesterday, but this song lyrically reminds me of Running Back to You and Tomorrow because it's that concept of the believer, you know, going forward in his journey, but then backing away, and then the Lord saying, you know, I'm here, come, you know.
Here are the choices I gave you. You turned and walked away, but I'll take you back.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, with what sometimes people don't understand about this genre of music is that the lyrics aren't extremely overt, in-your-face lyrics. But there are lyrics that can take you into mediums and formats, you know, jazz clubs and little smoke bars and, you know, areas where you have an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ more on a one-on-one level with people.
So you have to spread the ministry, and you have to go to places like that to get the word out. I mean, it's not like everybody's coming to the church. You have to go out and seek those people. God said, Jesus said, I will make you fisher of men.
Amen.
And that's when we go out. We go out and try and touch souls and help people through the spirituality of the music and the contentment and the just the sound to draw men unto him.
Amen. That is the goal of this. And actually, while you mention that, I always mention on this show Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. Not could be, would be, but shall be. And really, that's just where the relationship begins.
That's true. That's so true. That's a very profound scripture.
Indeed it is. And when you're in these places, it's something as simple as that, that you can say in between the song, that could be that moment in time for someone that they really needed to hear.
There's a brother. There's a brother band, a fellow band named Sweet Crystal, and the leader of that band is Mr. Andrew Mark Speck. He's a keyboardist, and he goes out and before every performance, he has scripture, and he goes out and plays these bars and stuff like that. But he said he can't promote the alcohol, or that's against our, you know, judgment.
Right.
Do that, but we have to spread the word. And he's instilled that, and he encourages me to do that even more so, playing with him.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to look for that band, Sweet Crystal, very great Christian rock band.
Sweet Crystal, I like the name.
Sweet
Sounds
Crystal,
good.
Yes.
I'll look them up. So this project that you're working on, what's it called, and what can the listener expect from it? Where can it take us?
Well, we're working on the song you heard, Troubled Waters, is the featured single from the Psalms album, which we're working on right now. The Psalms, I call everything an album. You see how antiquated I am. The song Psalms CD, And it's with David Winans Pie with my guitarist, Greg Nelson, Mr. Charlie Gress, and I have a 16-year-old named Nick Pigeon. And my drummer is Mike Livy and Darren Wardlaw. And I'm on keyboards, bass, and some guitar. And, and we should have Psalms finished. The songs prior to that, we have a CD out called Songs from the X-Files. Now, a lot of people took that title to mean the TV series, The X-Files. But it's, again, the X is for Christ. Yeah. So it's songs from, so they're all repentance songs. I mean, spiritual songs. So,
beautiful.
And doing that right now, and I'm working on a project with Daniel and my brother Michael. We're trying to take, well, sort of surprise. We're supposed to be scheduled to play in Grenada the early part next year.
I will keep my listeners tuned into that because I'm looking forward to that myself. So we'll keep that under wraps for now, but as it evolves.
Yes, we'll keep that under wraps.
Didn't hear from you. You just celebrated a birthday.
Yes, I did.
And you entered a new decade.
Yes, I did. My sixth decade.
Your sixth decade. That sounds young. I'm going to keep that. My fourth decade.
Yeah, I'll let you use that.
Okay, great. I will use that. Your sixth decade. And this is a decade where many people would think about starting to slow down, maybe whatever dreams they didn't hit yet to just put it on shelf somewhere. But you don't seem to be taking that approach.
No.
Talk to us about the dreams and ambitions you still have left to fulfill.
Well, yes, I still have, there's a couple of other projects I'm trying to produce, a young lady named Lexi, but I'm not slowing down. 60, I should be wiser and more calmer. I think age calms, like fine wine, it calms the senses, and you're more acceptable of things. You lose that angry edge thing. You know, when things don't go your way, you don't just pout about it. You have to, like, take a deep breath, sit back, read a scripture, think on it, and act wisely.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs is our book for wisdom, and I'm very deep into Proverbs.
Okay.
So with age comes wisdom, and you have to use that wisdom. It helps in relationships and all that, and thank God I'm in a beautiful relationship right now.
Well, that's the other new area, right? Here you are again. You know, you're getting ready to walk down that aisle and embrace someone into your life, and it's so absolutely fantastic. You know, I've met your fiancée. She's wonderful. And, again,
makes you feel like you're 17 again.
Well, that sounds good. In fact, that was my favorite age. I like 17 a lot.
17 was great because you weren't responsible, yet you were.
I don't know. How do you do that, though? How do you find it within you to do these things and to keep propelling forward?
I learned it from the Lord. What's my strength comes from? My parents instilled that in all of us. You can't give up. Don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
As the title of your radio show.
Yep.
There's no reason to give up. There's no reason for suicide. There's no reason, you know. We're here to help each other. And there's nothing too bleak that you have to give up.
Right.
Especially
in fact,
the Lord's on all our sides. So we have
he
that.
Is on our,
yes,
okay.
He is.
And our time is going so quickly, but I just recall that, you know, you shared that when you were 16, you actually had this little runaway experience. But in that experience, you gained courage,
wisdom.
And you traveled to London, and you started to, you know, really find out who you were. Not that
right.
I'm trying to advocate running away. I'm just saying
No.
Well, actually, you can explain.
Well, there wasn't a whole lot of room in our house either. I think we all come to that. You want to get out of your parents' jurisdiction. We all become grown at 16. That's why I said 17 is a great age. 16, you just go, hey, I can't take this anymore. I know what to do. Then you get out there and find out you have to pay rent where you were staying for free. You have to buy food and all that stuff. So that's just a common occurrence. That's happened through the history of life, the rebellion.
So you would say it was your courage and your faith that it is your courage and your faith that's allowing
yes.
you to continue to live your life victoriously and try new things even in this new decade of six.
Yes, in this decade of six. That sounds
Take
like a
good moment.
Title for the album cover.
It could be. I thought of it. I want credit.
I know you did, Jackie. You did.
Listen, you have a very strong love of family. That's been very evident with the Winans throughout the decades, and a strong love for God and who He is. Speak to our listener for a moment and explain to them about that everlasting love if they don't know it and how they can trust it.
God's everlasting love is unbiased. He has no favor, except you trust in God. And like I said, the schematic is just love. It's all pure love. There's no evil. There's nothing intentional, no maliciousness behind going out and helping other people. And it's all about us communicating and putting our faith and trust in God. Because His love is everlasting. And His word was never, He'll never lie to you.
Never lie to you. God's not a man who should lie.
No. His word is. As His word is promised.
Amen to that. Tell the people where they can find your music, where can they find out more about you?
Well, yes, I have a couple of, since everything's digital now, you can catch David Winans Pie on Facebook.com/David Winans Pie, ReverbNation.com/David Winans Pie. Our records are available on CD Baby and iTunes. Remember, that's David Winans Pie, DavidWinansPii.
P-I.
P-I, as in 3.14, the number.
I was just going to say, if you could explain the pie, because, you know, it's coming up a lot throughout our conversation. What does that mean to you, the pie?
Pie means to me, well, I was very astute in mathematics. So numbers play. I have a daughter named Seven. My family is 12 people in the family. I have a song called The 12. There's 12 disciples. Mm. So I kind of, numbers stick out with me. But in my band, I usually have three members. I mean, it was a power trio. But I add extra people once in a while. So it comes out to like a 3.14. It can go all the way up to 7, but pi is infinite. And it's a very irrational number.
Okay. All right. And you like that. Okay.
And I love that.
Well,
it's also the letter P in Greek. Alphabet.
It's also the letter P in Greek. So it works very well for you. So all of our musician math geeks out there, they can find it. I'm looking for, and you know, I want to mention one thing. I've seen you play on YouTube, and you and Michael Jackson have something in common.
Oh, on your my hand. Glove.
What is
well,
that?
Well, Michael didn't actually play.
No, he didn't. Well, he did play, but he didn't play, you know, live. But he could play if he needed to.
Yes,
but
he
could play. But he didn't wear his glove for the same reason you're wearing your glove.
No,
glove.
I wore the glove because at one time when I had to switch from guitar to bass, I had cut my finger, and I needed to keep playing, and I think your finger got infected or something like that. And you put a Band-Aid on, and the friction from the strings would, like, melt that or whatever. So I did some research, and I found a cotton glove and worked with it. And it also helps with the tonation of the bass. Whereas you get a whole lot of string noise, it buffers that, and I can get an upright bass sound with certain vibratos with the glove. So it became sort of a entrepreneurial type of situation. But I found out since then I'm not the only one in the world that plays with the glove. There's a few people throughout the world.
Hmm.
But that's my love glove.
Your love glove. Okay. Well, just like we just mentioned, you know, everlasting love, you've got to have a love glove to go along with
that's
that.
That's true.
And you
it
know,
makes
and
it,
talk
it just, it just feels good on the strings. It's
feels
very,
good.
You, very common in you.
We talk about you know, don't give up. And a lot of times it's on very heavy subjects, like you know, getting resistance no matter where you went in the music industry and finally finding an independent way to get your music out there. But even in something like cutting your finger, on a guitar and to continue playing. A lot of us look at musicians and we think, oh my goodness, they're fabulous if I could just play like them. And I remember the first time I picked up a guitar, it was horribly painful. And my instructor didn't help because he said, oh, don't worry, you're going to develop calluses on your fingers and it won't hurt as much. I said, what? I never played again. That was it.
That made you run away from it, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm like, I'm a girl. I'm not supposed to have calluses on my hands.
Well,
you know?
There's a lot of female violinists out there that have calluses on their fingers.
Definitely. And it doesn't matter what instrument. I mean, I ended up playing the saxophone, and there's a price you pay for that as well, developing your embouchure.
Yep.
Anything that you want to do well, you're going
to
have
to
pay
to
the
pay.
Price for it. Exactly.
Yep.
The beautiful thing about the Lord is that he's already paid the price.
That's the beautiful thing about salvation, correct.
Amen.
He paid for all our sins. And it's such a simplistic formula there. We know that. But yet a lot of us go against that.
We resist. And so I want my listeners to know that the greatest hero of all gave his life for you because he said you were worth it.
Yep.
And if you said you were worth it, then you should be your own greatest hero and not let yourself down. No matter what you're facing this week, know that he is there for you. And
saying that should rid everyone of any self-loathing or self-low esteem.
I agree. But sometimes we need to hear it over and over again. So I say it every single week.
They tape this show.
Amen. Thank you, David, for being with us. You've been such
Thank
a pleasure.
You,
so gracious.
Thank you for having me on, and God bless everyone there.
Well, you know, I have to give a special thanks out to Bridgepoint Media and Productions for bringing this collaboration together. Wonderful, wonderful organization, and they're worthy of looking up and checking out Bridgepoint Media Productions. So until next week, I want you all to think about the everlasting love that we've discussed here, and embrace it for yourself. Know that God is more than willing and more than able, and he's actually longing, almost in a lovesick way, for you to embrace the everlasting love that he has provided for you.
Where there is grief, there will be hope. And if ever a hand is in need, know that I'll be holding on. Know that the peace that comes from above is the same everlasting love.
Yeah. Thank you.